Now you're set. If I wasn't nervous, now I really am. I had to follow that. Come on. It's definitely a different view from up here. All right. Welcome to the fellowship, evening hallelujah service. I'm just a little nervous. I'll be starting off with one of my favorite passages from the Bible. Means a lot to me. Gives me great peace. I hope it brings peace to you all too. If you would, please open up your Bibles to Psalm 23. Please stand with me when you find that. All right. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of our Lord, of the Lord forever. Amen. Lord, please be with us tonight and be with all of us that are preaching tonight, and just give us the words that glorify you, O Lord. And we just pray you just be with us tonight. These things I pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Please be seated. This next part is something that was laid on my heart here recently that I really didn't plan on being a part of the message, but this is how it's going to start. On 23 September of 21, I lost a friend of mine, near and dear to me. He was like a brother. But the day we laid him to rest, an old friend asked me a very sad question. Turns out there were three of the saddest words I have heard in a long time. Was Tony saved? And then came three more words. Very sad. I don't know. I did not know. And I didn't try to bring the gospel to him or anything. And I'd been going to church for some time by that time. And I didn't try to bring the word to him. So, very sad to my heart that I didn't know that my close friend was saved or not. And at the same time, I never thought that he wouldn't get out of the hospital. He's the same age as me. We're 21 days apart. And he was in the hospital. He called me a few days before he passed. We're yucking it up and having fun, but I never brought the Lord or the gospel to him. Because again, I never thought he wouldn't make it. But there I was a week and a half later, speaking at his funeral. One of the hardest days I had to deal with. Some of you noticed the jacket I wore. That's what I said. It's been there ever since, along with his eulogy. But it was a very sad day, very hard to speak. As the Bible says, Jesus wept. That day, Jeremy wept. But it was also a celebration of life for him. but it was definitely hard. One of the hardest days I've ever had to deal with. I'll continue on my message. As for me and my family, we shall serve the Lord. Like this start of Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. Most people have a fear of death. I would say more of a fear of the unknown. As for a Christian, we should not have that fear. It clearly states in the Bible, fear not. I found it 62 times in the Bible. It says, fear not. Or be not afraid. Not fear. So multiple times it tells us not to be afraid. I truly believe God doesn't want us to live in fear or fear for death as a Christian. He brings us peace. Matthew 11:28 says, come unto me, all ye labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Amen. You know, so to me, that brings peace that a lot of people don't have. But it's something we should as Christians. At the same time, on the other side, flip side, I got an uncle of mine. I've known all my life, obviously, but he was one of the most godly men I knew. He witnessed, he preached. Family would come to the house and he'd start preaching the gospel, sing gospel songs. And he was just a great blessing to the family. And it was difficult when we lost him, too, quite a few years ago. He was my Uncle Dean. And it was interesting that my family got to experience God's peace through him, with him. I'd only wish I'd worked harder to get to know the man, because he truly was a man of God. As he was in his last days, we went and visited him. I don't know how, he already knows what I'm going to say. Anyhow, we went to go see him. But even though we were there, he was on his deathbed, his last days, his final days of his life. He smiled. You could just see the joy, the happiness on him. And even though, you know, he's there, uncomfortable, in pain, in his last days, not knowing when the good Lord's going to take him home, he still prayed. But not for what some people would be praying, take me out of this world or anything else. He would pray for one more. One more to come to his room so he could give them the good news. Yeah, there's a Lord and Savior that will take you home and you could dwell with him forever. And he prayed that every single night. And it was interesting, though he was there, last days, severe pain. You know, my son, he asked me, you know, off to the side, he goes, why is he, you know, happy? He's going to die, you know. And I just sat there. I go, because he knows where he's going to go.
Amen.
And I pointed up. And there was no doubt in my mind. Just so amazing for him to witness and the whole family, because it's not something that everybody gets to see. You know, somebody in their last days that's joyful and has peace in their heart because they know where they're going to go. But this has been laid on my heart for a long time, this message. So when Pastor asked me, I knew exactly, instantly, what my message was going to be. Just putting it all together. Like I said, the first part was an add-on, and you know, God brought that to me in my time when I needed it. But it brings me joy to share this with my church family and friends. It really does, because I think it's important for all of us to hear. He brings peace and joy to our lives, that a comfort that nobody else or nothing else can bring. I hope that if there's any doubt while you are here, that you get it settled today, for we are not guaranteed tomorrow. And I leave you with this, the song to take it to tell it to Jesus, Fourth verse. Are you troubled at the thought of dying? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. And then last but not least, Revelation 1:17. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, this is Jesus speaking now, fear not, I am the first and the last.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
There you go. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. When he asked me to preach, I said one thing. I said, hey, just make sure the last person has the best looking hair out of the four of us. And amen, right? Amen. Brother Jackson, I mean. Yeah, well, you know. Figure this thing out. Good night. All right. There we go. Amen. Grab your Bibles, turn to 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. I was talking to my daughter and my wife, and she said, you're nervous. I said, yeah, of course. Of course, as you're standing up here, you're looking at everyone down there, and you're all looking at me like, what you gonna say today, preacher? And you're just praying that the thing that God gave you is what can be used in your life. So, yeah, but I don't take this opportunity lightly. Thank you so much for the opportunity to be here. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse number 1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, and it that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook that I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. Title of my message is Preparing for Mount Carmel. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I thank you so much for this opportunity. I thank you for just allowing a servant like me to be used by you. And I pray that you'd help this message to be something that can be used in everyone's life as we all face Mount Carmel. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. I was in the hospital with my wife. We were finally at the hospital expecting our first child. This is the sixth time my wife has been pregnant and the furthest we've ever been through this process. So we were at the hospital. We were excited. I did everything they told me to do. I put my wife in bubble wrap. I made sure she just was bedridden. I made sure everything was taken care of. We got in there. It was a great day, a glorious time. Our first child was going to be born. Doctor walks in, says a couple of things to my wife, squeezes her ankles, which I don't know why she did that, looks at the nurse, the head nurse, nods her head, and everything just is a blur. Everyone's running around, everyone's moving, scooting, everyone's in operational gowns. I don't know what's going on. And then the doctor comes up to me and says, hey, just so you know, we have to do emergency surgery. There might be a chance that you have to pick between your child and your wife. Well, that's not fun. It's one of those decisions that you look at in your life and you say, that's impossible. You ever faced impossible decisions before? Like mountains that you would have in your life, things that you look at and say, well, I wouldn't wish this on my worst enemy, and yet now here I'm faced with it. We find Elijah is standing in front of Ahab. The first encounter we have in front of Ahab, and all he says in front of the king is, hey, it's not going to rain. There's going to be no dew. You're not going to deal with anything until I say. I kind of picture Elijah like an action hero, opening the doors, slow motion, you know, walking towards the king. What's up? You know, says what he says. There's not going to be any rain. Peace. And he leaves, right? That's kind of the coolest thing. That's like if he had a mic drop moment right there and he left. And then God said, hey, you need to leave. You said what I told you to say. Now get hence and go to the brook Cherith. That's a whole message in and of itself. Things don't start moving until you do what God tells you to do. Amen. Right? But he goes to the brook Cherith. He's there. He's waiting. He has the brook by him. And God commands the ravens to feed him. And that's kind of where we pick up here. You're going to go through some battles. I'm sorry if that's a newsflash. But you're going to go through battles in life. It's called life. You wake up, you deal with some battles, you rest, you go through life. I'm encouraged. It's going to be great. But it's seriously, that's what we do. It's a daily occurrence. We wake up, we deal with battles, we rest, we go to bed, we wake up, we deal with battles. It's a circle thing. But praise the Lord that God gives you preparation through all of it.
Yes, sir. That's good.
And I'm going to give you some life-altering, probably the first time you've ever heard this before, for the low, low cost of nothing. I'm going to help you get through any battle you might face. You ready, Hannah? Yeah, she's like, why'd you say my name? All right, very cool. That's not Hannah, is it? What is the name? Yeah, Kaylee. Yeah, say it with me, all right? Kaylee, good? That was a test. I tried so hard. I sounded cool in my head, and pray for my kids. They deal with this for the rest of their lives. But no, I'm gonna help you. It's gonna prepare you for any battle, and I think it'd be a good blessing for you. Number one, you must drink from the brook Cherith. Translation, you must be in God's word daily. I know, groundbreaking, I get that. But if you look at this, Elijah went to the brook Cherith. He didn't sit by the brook Cherith. He didn't wait and start meditating and manifesting the brook Cherith to give him nourishment. No, he physically bent down, reached his hand into the water, and bring the water to his lips. I think many times, just because we have a Bible on our coffee table, we think we're living right by it. We think that a closed Bible and manifesting what God wants us to do is going to get the job done, when it's just not. It's not. It's a daily occurrence. How many of you like working out? Yeah, okay, I know you do. So, we love working, but it's tough. I saw five hands. All right, five hands. We don't like working out on a consistent basis. We don't like, but what happens? The doctor says, hey, listen, if you start working out, you're going to live a longer life. You're going to live healthy. And we look at him like, yeah, but McDonald's. The preacher gets up on a weekly basis and says, hey, get into God's word. And we look at him and say, yeah, but Netflix. That's how it is. We laugh about that, but it's true. Yeah, but Instagram. They call it doom scrolling for a reason, people. How many times, and be honest with yourself, have you drank from the brook Cherith personally this week? How many times have you opened God's word not to check a check off a checklist, but to actually get something from God's word? You're going to face a mountain. Elijah was getting ready to face a mountain. He was about to hit Mount Carmel, and the only way he was going to be able to prepare for the journey was by drinking from the brook daily. Number two, you must take what you are given from the ravens daily. The translation to this is you have to take what the preacher is preaching and apply it to your life. Amen. This is probably going to be my last hallelujah service after I tell you this. I get this. I understand. I know who I am. All right, I get it. But this is a picture. We've had a month to prepare for this, right? And I've had an opportunity to talk to some of the preachers here. It's the most nerve-wracking month you have. You're preparing. You're trying to get things together. You're praying. You're nervous. You're not ready for this. Can you imagine doing this every week? Good night. The preparation, the prayer, the agonizing over God's word, the making sure that it all fits together, making sure it's not your words that you're saying, and it's something that God is telling you. And we have the audacity to say, that's for someone else, preacher. Just because it's not what you ordered doesn't mean it's not what you need. This isn't Texas Roadhouse. Listen, I don't care if it's medium rare or shoe leather. Sometimes we just have to choke it down. And that's the thing. But we treat it like Texas Roadhouse. Like, preacher, that was a good sermon. That was great. But next time, if you could touch on these points, the guy next to me really needed to hear this. No, God has ordained a man to be here that the church has called upon to be their preacher. He has gone to his secret place. He has gone to his prayer closet. He is agonizing. He has a list of people that he is praying on a daily basis, saying, God, let this message speak to their hearts. And we sit in a pew and we say, man, that was great for someone else. It's not how it should be. God's word that is given by the raven when he flew away and brought it to us is exactly what we need. As a church congregation, all we have to do is take it. Amen. That's it. You want to prepare for some battles? You want to prepare for some battles? Be in the church. Be in the church, not only in the church, be in church with an open heart saying, God, what do you have for me? I guarantee you it changed your life.
Yes.
First time I was sitting down here and we were praying about where we were supposed to be going to church, I was sitting in the back, and then this pastor from Heartland, already the best thing in the world, Pastor Moore, if you didn't know, came up here and he preached a sermon. He said, stay. Stay. And it was I was going through some trials in my life and business-wise and work-wise and just family and everything like that. And I believe we just found out about what my wife is going through, and the preacher preached on stay. You know what I did? I stayed. Amen. And it's from that message that I took the meat, the bread, and applied it to my life. You're not going to be prepared for battles by being mediocre at church. Here and there, wishy-washy, right? It's not going to work. Because there's things that God's going to tell the man of God that you are not privy to. So number one, you must drink from the brook Cherith. Number two, you must take from the ravens. Read your Bible, take what the preacher gives you, and not try to order it yourself. And lastly, the doctor came into me. It came into the room and said, hey, you might have to choose between your child and your wife. I prayed about that, and I said, Lord, that's impossible. Like, what am I supposed to do? I got the gown on. I rushed into the operation room, and just in time, they started without me. It was very, very serious. We're sitting there. I'm praying they don't ask me. I don't want them to ask me. I just want everybody to be okay. And then about what seemed like an hour, really about 10 minutes, I hear my daughter Grace's voice for the first time crying. And I look at my wife and I say, hey. And I look at my wife and I see she's okay. And I look at the doctor and she, again, she must be the nodding doctor because she just nodded at me. And everybody was okay. And we made it through that mountain. We made it through that trial. And we saw fire from heaven at that time. Yes. Number three, to get through mountains, you must remember the mountains you previously climbed. You know, everyone knows in this church what my wife is going through, and I'm very, very blessed for everyone here that's been praying for my wife and myself and my family. I have a reputation at work of being a guy that can just, nothing gets to me. It's not because I'm not anybody special. I just business as usual, working and being able to just go through my life. And like, how do you let nothing get to you? And I said, well, I read my Bible. I go to church. But I've already conquered mountains before. My family's already gone through mountains before. We've already seen fire from heaven before. We've already seen God at work. So why worry when I know what God's already going to do? Amen. You're going to have mountains in your life, and I'm done. You're going to have mountains in your life. It's just going to happen. Are you following these steps? Because remember, if you follow these steps, and you keep climbing one grasp at a time, remembering, saying, God, I remember what you told me in your word. God, I remember what the preacher said. Lord, I've been through this mountain before. I guarantee you, you follow this,